Paul Meacham, Jr.
Our suffering is not worthy the name suffering. When I consider my crosses, tribulations, and temptations, I shame myself almost to death, thinking what they are in comparison with the sufferings of my blessed Savior, Christ Jesus. Those were the words of the great reformer, Martin Luther. He saw his suffering as nothing compared to the suffering of Jesus, and he was right. The Apostle Paul put our suffering in its proper perspective by comparing it not to the suffering of Jesus, but to the reward awaiting us. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8, verse 18. When we consider that there is glory awaiting the faithful, and that that glory is made possible by the great suffering our Lord endured, we should love God with all we have and are. We should want to know Him. We should want to please Him.
We do invite you to take your Bible and open it to Ephesians chapter 4, as we'll take our text from verse 5. Here Paul is giving us a list of seven things that should unite all people who want to serve God. He tells us that there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In this particular passage, Paul refers to the fact that there is one baptism. At the time that he wrote to the Ephesians, of all of the many baptisms mentioned in the Bible, only one still had power. Only one was still in force. What is that one baptism that Paul refers to? Last week we began trying to answer that question by examining each of the baptisms that the Bible talks about. Last week we looked at the baptism of John. This was a baptism that was put in force for a limited time. It was put in force for a period of time to a certain people in order to prepare them for the Messiah, to prepare them for the coming kingdom. We learned last week that when the kingdom came, that baptism no longer had force, but rather another baptism was in its place. This week we turn our attention to the baptism of suffering. In Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 38, we find that two disciples have come to Jesus requesting that they might have seats of honor in His kingdom, one on His right hand and the other on His left. Jesus replies to them by saying, "You do not know what you ask. Can you drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to Him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism that I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared." Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River, but not according to John's baptism. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Jesus could not repent, for He had committed no sin. Rather, He was baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness, in order to set an example to show His humility and His subjection before Jehovah God. So what is the baptism that Jesus is referring to here? This baptism is the baptism of suffering, the great suffering that He would endure, and that many of His followers must likewise endure. The purpose of this particular baptism is different from others mentioned in the Bible. It was to bring about man's salvation. That's the reason that Jesus endured this great baptism, or this great overwhelming of suffering, for that's the meaning of the term as it is used here in Mark chapter 10. Jesus was going to be immersed in suffering, overwhelmed by it. We see that Jesus did this in order to provide salvation for mankind. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 22, it says, "Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Jesus endured this great suffering in order to bring about salvation. Now, as He said to James and John, they would also endure this baptism of suffering. That doesn't mean that they would die on the cross for the sins of mankind, but it meant that there would be times of persecution, times of great suffering, that they also would have to endure. This is true of all of the disciples of Christ in one sense or another. We as His disciples must endure the suffering that comes our way, the suffering that comes to us because we are Christians, in order to be saved. Many serve Christ, or at least appear to serve Him, when things are easy. But then when things become difficult, when there are trials in life, or possibly even when terrible things happen to them, a loved one dies or a child is taken from them suddenly, then we find their faith has shaken and they no longer serve Him. We as His disciples must serve Him even during the difficult times. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, "For to this life of suffering, you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." 2 Timothy 2 and verse 11, Paul wrote to Timothy saying, "This is a faithful saying, for if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us." We see that sometimes the choice is put before us of serving Him, enduring the suffering that comes through that service, or denying Him. If we are going to be saved, we must endure, in a sense, this baptism of suffering as well. In the case of the baptism of John, we see that John was the one who performed it. Also, the disciples of Jesus performed that particular baptism. But who performs this baptism of suffering? We find in the case of our Lord, it was by the hands of wicked men. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, on that first great day of Pentecost, when the gospel message was first preached to mankind, we find there that Peter describes our Lord as the one who was delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, who they, the Jews at that particular time, had taken by lawless or wicked hands and crucified and put to death. Jesus suffered at their hands. This is a baptism that was performed by wicked men. Oftentimes when we think of baptism, we think of it being performed by a righteous man. But this baptism of suffering came upon our Lord by wicked men. We, His disciples, who also endure this great suffering, will also suffer at the hands of wicked men. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Christians are to be lights to the world. But Jesus warned us in John chapter 3 and verse 20, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." That means that if we serve Him faithfully and we serve as lights in the world, there will be those who hate us because of that service. And when they do hate us, they will punish us. They will cause us to suffer. Sometimes we will have to suffer the same overwhelming suffering that Jesus had, and it also will be performed by wicked men. Jesus and His disciples were subject to this particular suffering, as well as all those who will follow Him. Notice Paul's words to Timothy in chapter 3, beginning, or rather 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured." Now we know about the suffering of Jesus on the cross, but looking at the life of Paul also shows us a life of suffering, suffering for the cause of the Master. And he identifies some of those sufferings as some of those places where they occurred in this particular passage. Notice what he says then, "Out of all of them, the Lord delivered me." Did Paul suffer in his life? He certainly did. But he always knew that he was not going through those sufferings alone. Rather, he was going through them with Christ at his side, for he was going through them in the service of our Lord. Notice then the warning that he gives to us in verse 12. "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions." It is the case that all of us who do right will at one time or another, in one manner or another, suffer for doing right. But just as God delivered Paul from all of those things, He will deliver us. Oh, they may take our life. They may harm our body. But we are not to fear him who can kill the body, but rather him that can kill both body and soul in hell. We need to take the suffering that comes our way and keep it in its proper perspective, that Jesus suffered, and we as his children will also suffer. When John's baptism was administered, it was a burial or an overwhelming in water. We find here that the baptism of suffering is an overwhelming in pain. In Isaiah chapter 53, beginning in verse 3, Jesus in this great suffering was described as one who was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5. You can hear the pain that comes through in every line of that great prophecy. The pain that our Lord endured. The overwhelming pain. And on top of all of the physical pain that he had, there was the knowledge that the very ones that he loved so much, the very ones that he was dying for, were at that moment surrounding him at the foot of the cross, mocking him and shaming him. We need to keep in mind that when we suffer, the pain that we suffer is that which will be short-lived. Well, there's much that can be done to the body, but none of it has to touch the soul. In fact, it cannot touch the soul unless we allow it to. We need to remember the words of John 15 and verse 20. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. They did persecute our Lord. And if we serve him, they will persecute us as well. How long will this baptism last? The baptism of John lasted only until the kingdom came. This baptism also has its end. For Jesus, it ended on the cross. For us, it will end on that last great day. Jesus said in John 16 and verse 33, I have spoken these things to you that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus overcame, and we can as well. We can leave this world, having come through this baptism of suffering, victorious.